Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Now here's your host, Mark Graydon.
Hello, NAPMA members, and welcome to the Sounds of Success. I'm Mark Graydon. As the economic climate continues to be challenging, savvy analysts are recognizing that the consumer that emerges from this economic hardship is going to be a very different animal. They're likely to be much more frugal and skeptical with their discretionary dollars. They're likely to demand much higher value in return for any expense added to their family budgets. In many cases, these are budgets that will, for the first time, include money put aside for savings. How to thrive in a new economy with a new style of a consumer is a subject of thought for many of the sharpest minds in the business. They will be sharing progressive ideas for dominating in a new economy at the upcoming Extreme Success Academy. NAPMA's live events always have a stellar lineup of forward-thinking speakers who can help to guide the industry through the new and different climate ahead, so be sure to be there. This month, leave it to NAPMA to find another innovative outlet for the priceless teachings that martial arts offers to the community. On today's show, we speak with one of the leading experts in the subject of anger management and learn 8 life-enhancing tools that can help anyone with anger issues. Then NAPMA member Jose Santamaria shares with you some of the organizational keys and internal systems that lead to the success of his Junry Institute in Texas. But before that, we'll check in with NAPMA COO Toby Milroy with the Marketing Minute for this month. But first, let's take a quick look at the rundown on the NAPMA Innovation DVD. The first segment on this jam-packed DVD is from our NAPMA Core Curriculum. The NAPMA Core Curriculum is a series of video segments that address the central skills involved in running a martial arts school. These core competencies are broken down into 6 categories and feature some of the innovators who have developed and improved these skills over the years. The categories are marketing and sales, enrollments, internal marketing, renewals and upgrades, retention, quality, and systems and management. Each month, you and your staff will be able to review the fundamental skills involved in each of these key areas in your school. This month's segment focuses on sales and marketing. And the critical first touch for your staff in the sales process involves answering the telephone. In this segment, martial arts business pioneer Rick Bell teaches the basics of answering the phone in your martial arts school. The techniques in this segment, when properly and consistently applied, can double or triple your enrollments. Then, from Mile High Karate in Parker, Colorado, Rodolfo Gonzalez takes his class through a fast-moving series of conditioning, combinations, kata, and simple but effective self-defense. All of this is wrapped in a well-structured, high-energy teaching model which is sure to leave the students feeling satisfied. Then, the lovely and talented Rebecca Ross is one of the brightest stars on the tournament circuit today. In this segment, she teaches extreme bow techniques for competition and fun. Among other skills, she'll show you effective ways to teach palm spins to your Extreme Weapons Forms classes. In this month's Edge MMA segment, we bring you a video submission from NAPMA member Mario Roberto. This month, he teaches the introductory basics of MMA as they are taught at his facility in Rochester, Minnesota. He teaches how to teach beginner students introductory skills such as proper stance, hand positioning, basic strikes, and grappling techniques. He also makes some important points about transitioning from one MMA discipline to another. And at the Diamond National Karate Championships, on behalf of NAPMA, Joe Corley interviewed high-profile champions on the sport karate circuit about the positive impact competition has had in their school and in their lives. This month, he interviews Joey Greenhaw, Chris Rippold, and Mindy Kelly. So this month, it's phone skills, classroom drills, spinning bows, beginning MMA, and champions speaking about competition in their schools. And you will find it all on the NAPMA Innovations DVD this month, so be sure to check it out. Next up, it's the man with the plan, the marketing plan that is for October. And the man is NAPMA COO marketing guru Toby Milroy.
Hello NAPMA members, this is Toby Milroy again with your monthly marketing minute for October. And October is always a very exciting time in a martial arts school, especially marketing-wise. With the Halloween holiday, it always seems to generate so much buzz and so much interest, which absolutely opens up a few unique opportunities for us in the martial arts industry. Several opportunities we're going to talk about today are designed to help to create a flood of new enrollments in October and November and through the holiday season. Unique marketing opportunity number one is the holiday guest passes in the Halloween bag. And you'll find available on our print-on-demand area in your members' website, you'll find customizable Halloween ad cards. That is our recommendation that you bundle perhaps 30 or 50 of these cards into packs, and in general, have each of your students give those cards out to people who come to the door for trick-or-treat. Now, of course, you do have to pre-frame this conversation, and you have to have a frank, honest conversation with your members, clients, students, and parents about how important it is to help support the school and how the best compliment they can give you as an instructor is to refer another person, and how perhaps they know people who could benefit from training in the martial arts school as they have, and how referring other people to the martial arts school only helps make the school stronger for them, creates more opportunity for the school to touch and to help more people in the community. So it is very important initially that you pre-frame and that you have that conversation with your classes and your students, then give them the stack of 30 to 50 of these ad cards with the instruction that it would really help us a lot and it would be a great gesture and the best compliment you could make your instructor to refer people that you know to the school by using these ad cards and popping one into each bag of the trick-or-treaters that may come to the house. And by the way, did you know that 10 out of 10 dentists prefer participating in our martial arts academy rather than eating all that candy anyway? So it is a unique marketing opportunity that exists perhaps only this time of the year. So that's unique marketing opportunity number one, and it's been proven successful in schools all over the nation, and we make it very easy for you with the print-on-demand Halloween ad cards. So immediately go to the NAPMA members website and click the customizable print-on-demand logo, and you'll be taken to our print-on-demand service where you can customize and order these cards to be sent straight to your school. Very simply, very inexpensively. The second unique marketing opportunity that exists during Halloween is several business-to-business and community relations activities. In virtually every community across the nation, there will be facilitators who are putting together haunted houses or haunted hay rides or haunted forests, all sorts of things like that. And many of these activities generate huge interest in the community and generate huge amounts of traffic, which are mostly families with children. Mostly they center around parents bringing children and friends to these events. And I hate to reiterate the story again because I do tell it all the time, but I do believe it to be extremely important. But keep in mind, in your marketing activity, you want to be like a bear. And there are two different types of bears. There's one type of bear who's hungry and he stomps out into the middle of the stream where the salmon are running, and he wades out into the middle of the stream where the water is hip deep, and he stands in the most aggressive part of the current where the salmon are swimming in droves and jumping, and he catches all the salmon he cares to eat, and he gets, you know, fat and happy for the winter season. And then you have the other type of bear who's afraid to get his feet wet, and he stands on the shore and doesn't want to step into the water. And true, every now and then a sick, weak salmon does swim by the shore, and he does grab one every now and then, so perhaps he doesn't starve immediately, but you know, he certainly isn't ready for winter. So you have to determine in your martial arts school which type of bear you want to be. Do you want to be the bear who gets out into the middle of the stream and scoops up all the salmon he wants? Or do you want to be the type who struggles and scrimps and scrapes and fights for every little sick salmon who might swim by? So it's really important for you to make the conscious decision of which type of bear you want to be. And if you want to be the bear who gets all the fish he wants to eat, then you've got to find where the salmon are running, and you've got to go stand there. You've got to get right in front of where the herd is running. You can't be afraid to get your feet wet, and you can't be afraid to stand in the hip-deep water. So obviously, this applies to this specific Halloween marketing strategy, by finding out where the big herds of salmon are, finding out where the big groups of your potential prospects are. If I'm in the family market, obviously, Halloween represents such a huge opportunity because there will be all sorts of Halloween parties, Halloween gatherings, haunted houses, all sorts of gatherings of large groups of our potential prospects, being families, students, and their parents. So it's easy to see that creating a cooperative business-to-business relationship with those haunted house facilitators and other types of businesses could be extremely valuable to you and your school. Now, how does that really work in real life? Well, there can be many types of models. One example could be, and that we've used very successfully in schools all across the nation, is that we create a relationship with the facilitator of that haunted house, who may have several hundred all the way to several thousand family visitors over a week or 2 weeks before Halloween and so on. And we create an affiliate relationship with that facilitator where perhaps they give out our Halloween ad cards that we've had printed on our print-on-demand site, and perhaps we put a special affiliate code on each one of those cards by stamp or by punch or something like that. And any of those affiliate referral cards that come back into our school where a student comes in to claim their free gift, if that student should enroll, we could compensate that affiliate, perhaps $50 per enrollment or $100 per enrollment or whatever the case may be. Now, again, it depends a lot on exactly what kind of relationship you choose to create with an affiliate or what type of revenue split you decide to work out with an affiliate. Another potential opportunity with an affiliate as such could be that you have 100 or 200 families training in your martial arts academy who you could potentially help them penetrate that market to get into their haunted house. So you could potentially help them market to your student base. So there are lots of opportunities for different types of cooperative business-to-business relationships, but keep very clearly in mind that a huge influx of your potential prospects will be visiting these facilities, will be visiting these haunted houses and other social activities, whether you're there or not. So certainly you should be there. So I hope that all that's useful for you, and I hope you take this opportunity to make Halloween in October and the rest of the holiday season a truly amazing success for you and your school. There's certainly no reason why you shouldn't, and certainly no reason why you can't, armed with this knowledge. It's a very empowering thing to know how to create as much intro traffic and to create as many new students as you choose simply by applying these principles. Now, keep in mind, this is your responsibility to get out there and make it happen. So get back to your school, get your staff revved up, get them to see the big picture and the vision behind what this Halloween season could mean to you and your business and in your school, and get out there and make it happen. I really look forward to seeing you at our next conference, our very next live event. Thank you so much for your time.
Next up, anger management and the martial arts are a natural fit. On behalf of NatMa, Tom Callis recently spoke with one of the leading experts in the field of anger management, Dr. Tony Fiore, about how school owners can work the concept of anger management into their schools. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Tom Callos, and I'm here with the preeminent anger management coach in the world, Dr. Tony Fiore. Dr. Fiore, thank you for joining us today on this call.
Thank you for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
Those of you who don't know, about 2 years ago now, I contacted Dr. Fiore because I had been thinking about anger management. And that wasn't because of the movie, but it was because I knew that anger management sat in the back row of every martial arts school, that it was around the periphery, that you could see it looking in through the window, that it was a part of what we did, but we didn't really have the verbiage or any tools to really impart anger management in a scientific fashion. I knew there were a lot of people out there taking anger management, but I knew that I hadn't gone into any schools, and I didn't know how to teach it step by step. And I knew someone had been working on it, and there had to be somebody good. So I found Dr. Fiore, and what did I say when I called Dr. Fiore?
Well, you said something about wanting to use anger management in martial arts studios, and I said, "What does anger management have to do with martial arts. And you explained it to me, what the connection was, and it made an incredible amount of sense. But like most lay people, I had a misconception about martial arts and what the function of a martial arts studio was in the community.
Yeah, and I think I remember you and I talked about self-defense, and I said, well, from a real practical standpoint, self-defense is protecting one from harm. And anger does people harm, yes?
Yes, that's exactly what you said. You said martial arts is anger management, I think was a direct
yes.
quote. Yes.
And so the funny thing is, for those of you listening, was that while there is a lot of anger management, there are probably, if you live in a reasonably sized town, there's anger management in your community. It's just that 99.9%, if not 100% of it, is therapeutic, meaning that somebody has had an incident,
right.
They have a problem, and that's when they seek help. That's like, you know, getting your behind kicked and then going to self-defense classes. You know, it's not self-defense when it's therapeutic as much as what we want to do is preventive. And I thought, I asked Dr. Fiore if we could have some very simple tools that we could arm every child with so that should they be in a place in their life where anger runs the risk of hurting themselves or allowing them to hurt somebody else, could they have the tools already in their toolbox? And you told me about 8 steps, yes?
Yes. Yes.
So explain what that is, the 8 steps of anger management. And anyway, for those of you listening, Dr. Fiore has this wonderful online training program for anger management. It was all about therapy. And so go ahead. You tell the story, Dr. Tony.
Yeah, and up until the time you called, everybody that we trained in our system was a clinical person, either a psychologist or a mental health worker or a substance abuse counselor who applied our 8 tools of anger control to a clinical population, just as you described. But the more you talked, the more it made sense to introduce it earlier in a preventive fashion before problems get out of hand. And by the way, that coincided very closely with what my clinical clients were telling me, which was, why don't you teach this to kids? Why isn't this in the schools? Why isn't, why aren't people being taught these skills at an early age? So it kind of all came together, and it made a lot of sense that martial arts schools and studios were the perfect community forum to teach our 8 tools of anger control, which can be applied in terms of both managing your own anger and also dealing with angry people. Part of the program that we teach people is how to deal with others that are angry to defuse the situation. So
yeah, well, that's so much about self-defense that it's funny. And, you know, every martial arts teacher wants to have that verbiage, wants their staff members to have that verbiage and those skills. It's just we didn't have an organized method with which to teach them.
That's
and so,
right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You asked me to describe the 8 tools. I think I'll do that briefly if it's okay.
Absolutely.
The first tool is managing stress. We find that the more stress people have, obviously the more irritable and the more angry they are, and the more stressed out another person is, the more angry they might be, and so the more you need to do things to decrease their stress and decrease your stress. The second tool is developing empathy. Empathy is the ability to put yourself in another guy's shoes, to see the world as they see it, to see it from their perspective. And it's amazing how many children, how many people just aren't taught this tool as a child. And so we find that that's extremely useful. Tool number 3 is to learn to respond instead of react, to get the concept that even if you have an anger trigger in your life, you have a choice as to how you're going to deal with that, unlike lower animals in the food chain. So we teach people the concept of responding, deciding what they're going to do with their angry feelings instead of just reacting like an automaton. 204 is learning what's called self-talk. What we find is that what you tell yourself has a lot to do with either dialing up your anger or dialing it down. We teach you the right stuff to tell yourself to dial it down. 205 is assertive communication. It's a way of communicating to people in a non-aggressive way that gets your point across and gets a different response from them, unlike anger, which normally escalates other people and makes things worse. 206 is setting your expectations. A lot of times we're angry or other people are angry at us, not because of the reality of the situation as much as having distorted, wrong, or inflated expectations to begin with. Parents have the wrong expectation of their children. Sometimes adult children have, minor children have wrong expectations of their parents. And this tool teaches you how to adjust those expectations. 207 is learning to forgive and let the grievances go, instead of having a revenge, get even philosophy of life. And finally, 208 is called retreat and think things over. What it means is step back before you deal with a situation, calm down, cool off, and then deal with it.
Wow, well.
Those are the eight tools in a nutshell.
I just want everybody who's listening to this audio, no matter where you found it at, my expectation when I was talking to Dr. Fiore and we started crafting this program in a preventive fashion specifically to train martial arts teachers how to do what he just did. And in my own staff, you know, with my own people, my response would be, we are going to master this. We are going to own this in our community. Nobody else will do this. This is our Olympics. This is our national championships. This is everything that we want to communicate. It means we can go into the school system without teaching kids how to do an eye poke or an elbow smash or a groin to the knee, and teach a kind of martial arts education that everybody can use, that makes absolute sense, that's scientific. It isn't some marketing guy who dreamt up something to get himself in an advantageous place so he can solicit students. This is medically proven, you know, this is scientific. These Dr. Fiore and his colleagues are trained professionals. They're teaching us how to go into the school systems, how to go into our community. And I would challenge you that you go to your school's school board, you find out how many school-aged children in your community, let's say it's 20,000, and you pledge yourself over the course of the next 300, or let's say the next year, to teach 50% of those kids the skills of anger management. I mean, not just teach them, but get them to live it. And we will make a change in our communities. And that's what got me so excited about the anger management. This is real stuff. This isn't a program. You know, so many programs in the martial arts community have been designed as marketing tools, and rightly so. We do need to market, but we need to market in a way that's authentic and genuine. And so we have how long is the training program to be certified as an anger management educator?
Well, there's two parts to the program, Tom. The first part, and by the way, this is all online. Both parts of the program are online. They're both 10 hours. The first part is the consumer course, and you'll get a certificate as a certificate of completion for 10 hours of anger management. And then the second part of the program teaches you how to teach it. It's a specific, organized way to teach you how to teach anger management using all of our tools, including an instructor's manual, which you do get in hard print, a student manual, which you can download in hard print, plus all kinds of teaching aids like posters and booklets and the window signs to put on your studio and logos and all kinds of things to help you promote.
And press releases, too.
And press releases, right.
The point is that was my contribution for those of you listening. I said, Dr. Fiore, the curriculum is superb. And I've seen other, like, martial arts guys who have great curriculum, But when you acquire it and you study it, it doesn't have any of the accoutrements to tell your community about it. So one of our first approaches was to create all the accoutrements. Like Dr. Tony said, we have posters and postcards and booklets and press releases and all the things you'd need once you go through the training to make sure that everybody in your community knows where to get it at. And so I love that part of it.
Yeah, and the instructor's manual is a step-by-step, a lesson-by-lesson curriculum showing you how to teach the tool for that day to your students. So it's very easy to use.
Dr. Fiore, where's the root website where we go to see the material? And if we, you know, if we're ready to go to the next step to enroll, what's the website address?
Well, it's angercoach.com. Slash Dojo Anger is where they can get a free report on this program and how to go further. If they're ready to sign up.
Well, I think you can just go to Anger Coach Online if you forget all the slash stuff and it leads you there.
AngerCoachOnline.com, right. And then click on the tab for martial arts instructors.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. Sorry for interrupting. You were saying?
Well, I was just repeating the web address, AngerCoachOnline.com.
The opportunity to pick the brains of the most successful school owners in the world is one of the key advantages of NATMA membership. This month, we hear from NATMA member Jose Santamaria about the organizational keys and systems that work wonders in his Texas school. Enjoy.
If you're teaching a Power Rangers class, you should have, if you have a 2,000 square foot rectangle, I have 10 little masking tape spots on the floor. When they line up, they stand on top of the masking tape. When you're teaching a class, all you have to do is say, oh, get back on your dots. They get back on the dots. Crowd control. Everybody got that? Okay, that's 30 dots. Everybody see that? If you have a 7 to 12 year old, depending on their size, they can stay on those dots or maybe veer off of them a little bit. And I'm going to show you what we call 4-month projection. A lot of you are going to argue with me, and it's okay. It's not important that you do this, okay? It's important that my people do this. 4-month projections is what it's going to take you to go to college and start in September and finish by December 20th. That's a semester. Everybody understand that? Well, in karate, you have to devise a curriculum that you're going to give out in a specific amount of time. In the junior system, we have 4-month semesters, okay? So if a student signs up here, he's going to test for a belt here. But we give exams every month. Everybody follow me? So you have to understand that to know how many people are going to be graduating. My daughter just graduated 2 weeks ago from the University of Texas. They had over 4,000 people graduate that weekend. You know how many people are going into the workforce in Austin alone? That's a lot of people. So when we do graduation, we think about things like that. We project. How long is it going to get us to start? How do we have them stand? How do we have them walk and everything? All that has to do with crowd control in your space. Okay? So now, I know I'm bouncing around in 3 or 4 different areas. I'm going to tie it all together at the end. 4-month projection is going to be controlled by retention. I got a magic mark right here. 4-month projection is going to be by retention or drop. What is that? Retention or drop. So what does that mean? How many of you would love to have 200 or 300 students and not sign up another student again for 5 years? How many of you would like to do that? Of course, because you could keep the same people and graduate them all. So if you had 30 people, and never dropped a student, you'd close your doors because you're going to make money, because everybody's happy, but that's not a true value. It's not going to happen. I don't care how good a teacher you are, you're going to lose students. Economics, moving away, whatever the case be. All right? Now, in my school right now, I have a 72% retention. So if you have those statistics, you know if you start 30 people, 4 months later, 72% of those 30 people are going to go to your next class. So you see how you can project? Now, if you're signing up people, and I've heard some horror stories in the hallway, Somebody told me, says, or I didn't tell me, I heard him say somebody else, yeah, I signed up 70 people the other day. And I couldn't resist that one. I said, how long ago? He said, about 2 months ago. And I said, are you wanting more students? He said, oh, yes, sir. Why? Well, those 70 students are no longer with me. See that? So if you are here to learn only how to put people in your school, that's good, but that's bad. You need to learn how to put people in your school, but also keep the people. See, retention, and please engrave this in your brain, retention is 100% profit. You don't have to spend any more money to get them. They're already there. Everybody understand that? That's so simple to me, but it isn't to you, unless I get the point across today. All right? So if you have 300 students and nobody's quitting, you don't have to advertise no more. Forget about having all those nightmares. In my school, I don't sell every day, all day long. I sell twice a week because people have objections to that. Baseball, basketball, bowling, piano, and everything else like that. When people say to me, oh, how often do I got to bring my son or daughter to karate? Well, why? Well, they're in this and that and the other. Oh, just twice a week. Then when you get them hooked, then you tell them, by the way, we have a Friday or a Saturday, whichever one you want your makeup day to be. You call it a makeup or get ahead. Makeup or get ahead. And you anchor it by saying, and you know what? We're not even going to charge you any extra for that. And let me tell you what's going to happen. On Fridays and Saturdays, when it's the hardest time to get people to your karate schools, they're going to be packed. And you know why you want them to be packed? Because people are off of work, they're walking around, they're walking to your karate studios, and you don't want to have dead time, no people in your karate schools on Friday and Saturdays. You want them packed because that's when people are walking around ready to spend money. See that? You don't want people to come to your karate schools when they're dead. You want to give them as many options to be there when people are alive and kicking. Doesn't that make sense? But I have two things I want to talk about my schedule. This is the meat of my seminar. Number one, children's classes, I separate them every group. White, no belts by themselves, white belts by themselves, gold belts by themselves, green belts by themselves, and I have 30 or so in each class. Okay? Adults, I don't mind splitting curriculum like white, gold, or green, purple, or whatever the case would be. Why? There's a why to everything. Children, when you teach them, you got to teach them all the exact same thing. You cannot say, you and you do this, and you and you do this. They'll start pulling hair, kicking them each other in the behind, wandering around, picking their nose, and everything else like that. You gotta have them all do that. Adults, you can say you 4 or 5 on this side, task training, work on this, you guys work on this, and they're gonna be adults. Everybody see that? So we have a caption that says, adults can come to children's classes, because you're gonna have some family members that wanna work out with their children. That's okay. Adults can come to children's classes. Children can never come to adult classes. I don't teach mixed classes until they get to be a higher ranking belt. Now, we also have a very important notice, and I want you all to try to remember this and try to live up to it. In my school, we try not to let anybody experience a negative experience in the first 120 days. The best way to motivate a child is become his friend. It's the best way. I mean, if he doesn't want to be there, ask him. Get down on your knees. Would you do me a favor? Please come to class. Beg him. And then when he becomes your friend, you can tell him to jump off the Empire State Building and he'll go head first, I promise you. Just be their friends. Forget about all this stuff with parents and everything else like that. Okay? Two strongest sickness in our society or in our industry, parents and staff members. And I don't have the time to go into either one of those today. I do a seminar on both of those. Fridays, we have family time. Family time, we want to invite even people who are not in the karate class, I tell them to get on the floor. Ma'am, would you do me a favor? You come to class every day and support your child. Will you do me a favor, come on here? Let them get out there. You know why? Once they hurdle that step and they know they like it already, it's just a matter of picking up their legs and kicking. Then they're going to come and say, sir, when can I start? So sign up those members slowly. Don't just push them. Okay, just show them the benefits, ask them, get on your knees, beg them. Once they're in part of your class, they'll talk for you for the rest of your life. Okay, referrals is my biggest market. And by the way, there is no one solution to any problem. When somebody asks, what advertising do you do? The answer to that is everything you can afford. I do magnetic signs on the thing. I sign, newspaper, penny saver, television, radio. I do everything. All right? Don't just do one thing. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Summertime. Ooh, I got excited when that one happened. How many of you really believe summer is slow? Raise your hand, really. Really raise your hand. Okay? I would say that usually 75% of every crowd that I talk to says it's slow. Let me tell you why it's slow. Because you're slow. The reason summer is slow is because you failed to put the five P's into principle. The five P's are prior planning prevents poor performance. Prior planning, my spelling is not good, but I make a lot of money. Prior planning prevents poor performance. You guys can look at that up in the dictionary. Okay, I got 4 minutes. All right? Now, how do you keep that from happening? What you do in May and April is you have a rush week. You sign up as many students as you can during those 2 months. Why? Because when I got your money, you're going to be in my karate class in June, July, and August. Ask anybody here that's been to my karate schools in June, July, and August, and my schools are packed. Okay? So that's the first thing you want to do. The second thing you want to do, you want to have a membership contest. And you, I don't care if you're competing against yourself. Go across the street or across town or call somebody up that you know. Watch this right here. I'm going to do it right now. Mr. Powell, how would you like to have a membership contest against me?
Sure.
And the loser hits the other one in the face with the pie.
You got it.
Great. Now you go back into your studio and you say, guess what, guys? We're having a membership contest. And I need your help. And I don't want to lose because if I lose, he's going to hit me in the face with the pie. Does he know who he is? No, my students don't know who he is. Your students will do so many things for you, you will not even understand what they'll do for you until you tap those resources. All right? A short, hot flash at the very beginning of summer. And here's what you want to do. Everybody repeat after me. You plant a seed of mine. Oh, you got to be louder than that. You plant a seed of mine to get a positive result. Let's do that one more time. You plant a seed of mine to get a positive result. If you guys get a copy of my newsletter this month, and I haven't done a newsletter in 3 or 4 months, my newsletter says, students, the best time of the year to work out is coming up. Summertime is here. Everybody wants to look good, feel good, dress beautiful, and everything else like that. This is the time that everybody wants to be in an exercise program. Is that true? No, it's not. But in my school, it is. If you do this in May and April, and if you do this in October and November, you don't have to worry about June, July, and August, and December, if that's what those months that are so-called bad months. I don't have any bad months. I do have some months better than others. January, 27 ladies just signed up. 27 ladies. I even sent the NAPMA ad into NAPMA. They enlarged it and sent it out to all y'all. I'm that guy. Okay? 27 ladies. Let me show you how to get people involved in programs. Okay? Let's say this young man never comes. He only drops his son off. What you want to do is you want to address him. I do this with my higher ranking belts, and I also do it with my parents, okay? And I also do it with my children. Let's say you were one of my black belts, and you were teaching for me, and you felt like I should give you more quality time, okay? If I called you up, what's your name? Alan? Hi, Alan. This is Jose Santa Maria. What are you doing Friday about 7:15?
No plans.
Tell me you're going to movies with your best girlfriend.
Going to the movies with my best girlfriend.
Alan, you know what? I'm sorry to hear that, because this Friday at 7:15, I want to work out. And I would love for you to work out with me. Would you do that?
Yes, sir.
I bet you he would. Now, what I do is I hang up and I call the next one. Hi. Now, they don't know. They all show up knowing, thinking that I'm going to work out with them by themselves. Okay? So 7 of my best instructors show up. I give them the best workout, and I only tell them it's going to be for 45 minutes. After 45 minutes, I do exactly what I'm going to do to you guys in a minute. I'm going to ask you if you want me to quit talking. Okay? I say, oh, 45 minutes is up. Are you in a hurry? No, sir. And we stay there for 3 hours sometime and work out. Quality time is very important. So when you have a parent that is not participating in your program, you ask him to do you a favor. Sir, would you like me to help you, help me, help you, help your child? The answer is yes. Would you do me a favor? I want to schedule a meeting between you and me 4:30 next Tuesday. I do that with the other 10 people that are very hard to get there. When they get there, they don't know they're getting there for a meeting. See, don't announce it in general. Nobody shows up to general announcements. Make it personal. Go up to a child that's beaming for attention, and just say, would you do me a favor? Would you work out with me on Tuesday around 1 a.m. in the morning? You know what their answer is going to be?
Sure.
Yes, sir! Mommy, did you set the clock? Mommy, I'm going to work out with Mesa and Maria. They'll bug their parents to death. Make it personal. What I do is I bring the parents together and the children together, and I give this announcement. It takes me about 30 minutes to make this presentation. I'm going to make it in 2 seconds. I say, please don't let me be the bad guy in my karate school because you and I have failed to communicate. I need for you to prior plan. I explain to the prior plan. And I say, please do not do this. Do not go, oh, Johnny, it's time to go to karate. Come here. No, come here. Mommy, I want to swim. No, come here. And they grab him. Get in the car. Here, put on this garter uniform. Okay? And then the child, oh, I don't even like karate, Mommy. I don't even want to go no more. See, they're making me a bad guy. So what you tell them to do is you tell them the day of karate, 1 hour prior to karate, freeze time, let them relax, maybe take a little nap, get dressed, be excited about coming to karate. Okay? You also tell them that if they happen to have forgotten to do that, and that sun, they've been swimming all day long, and they're beat with that sun, not to put them in the front seat of the car in front of that air conditioner when they're going to have to drive at least 15 minutes to the karate school, and that child falls asleep, and then you got to wake them up to go to karate. It's the same mistake. All right? So prior planning on the parents' part has got to be very important. And then you tell them to reassure them of all the benefits in martial arts before they walk in the front door. So who is helping you help that child, that parent? Why? Because they want the most bang for their dollar.
The Sounds of Success is produced in Clearwater, Florida. It is intended exclusively for members of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists and their staffs.